Psalm 27, if you will. We're going to read the entire psalm, and then I'm going to work through 7 through 12 this evening. I'll review Genesis. In Psalm 27, 1 through 6, the psalmist has confidence in God's provision. He says in verse 1, it quiets his fear. In verse 2, it conquers his foes. In verse 3, it gives calm in the midst of great problems. In verses 4 through 6, it prompted fellowship, prayer, and praise. So let me read, first of all, verses 1 through 6. It's the Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So verses 1 through 6, the psalmist's confidence in the Lord. Now, in verses 7 through 12, the psalmist is crying out to God. And then 13 and 14 are the conclusions. So I'm reading now what I'll be preaching on this evening. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breatheth out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to grasp the very important things that we are going to be looking at this evening in this message as we consider how we are to indeed cry out to the Lord. Well, here we have David knowing where to go when he's in time of need, when he's having trouble. David begins to petition the Lord because he knows the Lord cares for him. In verses 7 and 8, he calls for the Lord to hear him. He calls for the Lord to pay attention to him. Verse 7 and 8 that we just read, but again it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David wanted to get the Lord's attention. It's always fitting for the child of God to call to God and ask him to listen. God doesn't have to listen to us, but we shouldn't go flippantly, as I was praying a little bit earlier, we shouldn't go flippantly into the presence of the Lord, but we can come boldly to the presence of the Lord if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But we need to do like David and say, Lord, please hear me. I have something that I need your help with. You know, it's very, very interesting. In Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. I think a good New Testament illustration. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28, this records someone who knew that only Jesus Christ could help her need. It says, and then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. She comes to the Lord and she's going to tell him, I need your help. I need your help. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. The daughter was demon-possessed, and she knew and had heard of what the Lord Jesus Christ, how he had cast out demons and had control over everything. But he answered her not a word. Jesus Christ didn't say anything to her. She wasn't a Jew. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She didn't just do it once. She said, Lord, hear me. Lord, help me. I need your help. Lord, please. Well, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, that's where Jesus Christ came. The reason we got the gospel is because the Jews rejected it, and so the gospel was sent to the Gentiles. So this is in his ministry time where he's ministering to the lost children of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She wasn't going to be put off by that. And he answered and said, it is not meet. Now, that's a word that means right. It is not right. It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You say, how nasty. No, the Gentiles were called by the Jews what? Dogs. Okay. And that's why he's using the illustration. And she said, truth, Lord. She said, you're right. Yet, look at this. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The lady wasn't going to be put off. She kept coming back to the Lord. She kept coming back to the Lord. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was persistent. She cried unto the Lord. She called unto the Lord. Now, Lynn and I have been praying and praying and praying and praying for her mom's house to sell so that we can get her moved here. I don't want to have to go through another thing. And you have a tendency to give up sometimes. I remember praying something for more than 20 years. And you know, sometimes I have to admit that my faith was stretched thin. And I thought, is God ever going to answer this? And you know what? Then God did answer it. Praise God and praise the Lord. So keep on keeping on. And I also want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 11, 5 through 13. It's another good illustration how you need to keep on keeping on in prayer. Keep on keeping on for your unsaved, praying for your unsaved spouse. Keep on keeping on praying for your lost children, your backslidden children. Keep on keeping on praying those prayers and bringing it up for the Lord and for those things that are there. Who knows, the Lord may divinely intervene and answer that prayer when you least expect it. And so in Luke chapter 11, and now in verse 5, it says this, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So I go over and knock at Michael Strickland's door, say, I need 3 loaves of bread. I need 3 loaves of bread. He's sick as dog on me. But anyway, it says, for a friend of mine is in a journey and is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, he's laying in his bed. And he's saying, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. Well, that doesn't happen. I didn't ever let my children get with me in bed. But anyway, I cannot rise and give thee. Now, let's continue on. It says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Now, that's not a word we normally use, importunity, but that means persistence in asking. Because you continue to ask, it says, he will raise and give him as many as he needeth. Verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open unto you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he for a fish giveth him a serpent? You get the idea there of the importance of persistence in asking, in prayer. Now, one person asked me one time, so I'm going to answer it now. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 7. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 7, it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. There's a difference between vain repetition and asking persistently. The Catholics say they're rosary beads. The Hindus say they have beads that they follow and they do all these prayers. That's why as soon as possible, right from the start, get your kids off of now I lay me. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for food. By his hand we are fed. Give us now our daily bread. You know what? You don't have to think. I don't have to think to rattle those things off. That's vain repetition. Every time I pray for Linda's mom to sell her house and to be able to get a safe move and to be able to get an apartment in the complex where my mom lives, I do it sincerely. I'm thinking about it. My mind isn't in neutral. And so that's what asking with persistence or asking with importunity is you're thinking about it. It's a sincere desire of your heart. You want your husband to be saved. You want your wife to be saved. You want your kids to be saved or restored. Or you want a job. You need a job. You've been looking for a job, and you keep praying, Nothing seems to open up. Somebody came to me this morning and tell me they were so discouraged about not finding a job. I can understand that, but keep asking and don't quit. Do your part and keep praying to God. Keep filling out those applications. Keep doing those things because that's what is required of us. All right, so at any rate, David approaches God and asks for his attention in Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Answer me, Lord. I'm coming to you again. Answer me. Now, let's look at verse 9. He also is asking for God's assistance. He's saying in verse 9, hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. There's four expressions here in verse 9. That shows us that David has a strong desire to commune with God, to have fellowship with God, to get God's assistance, to get his aid. First of all, he requests that God not withdraw from him and make it impossible for him to meet with him. He says in that little phrase in verse 9, the first one, hide not thy face far from me. He's saying, oh, Lord, don't turn your back on me. Don't cover your face. Please, please listen to what I have to say. David valued the Lord's approval. He wanted the Lord's approval. He says, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Talks about it. The second thing, he requests that God not reject him in anger, because of any fault or problem or sin in his life. Now look back at verse 9 as well. He says, put not thy servant away in anger. It's important. I think it's an important thing when we come before God that we try and apply 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the Lord doesn't like sin. And so David's saying, oh, Lord, I want to come before you. And if there, don't be mad at me if there's some fault, some anger. David's fully aware of Saul's downfall. David's fully aware of that, of the downfall of Saul, his predecessor. And he does not want God to put him away with the same finality because of sin like he did with Saul. God said to Saul, enough is enough. I'm not going to be with you anymore. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to hear you anymore. The third thing, he asked God not to leave him. It says, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. He says, Lord, I don't deserve to have you listen to me. And you know what? None of us deserve to have God listen to us on our own. Some people look at God like, because they use some little formula or something, that God is obligated to do what they want him to do. I want you to know that God is not some kind of a cosmic genie. God works everything according to the counsel of his own will. So don't think that you can twist God's arm behind his back. That's why in the model prayer it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As I look at this, and I think that's what David has in mind here, Lord, you know, sometimes I don't know how to pray. I know that you don't deserve, you don't have to listen to me. I really don't deserve it. But Lord, please do listen to me. And the fourth thing he says, and it says, forsake me not. Don't forsake me. Undoubtedly, this is a reference to God withdrawing his mercy from David. And you know, when you think about that, I want you to think about that. If a God withdraws his mercy from you, if God withdraws his grace from you, what are you left with? You're left with dependence on your own knowledge. That can be a scary thing. You're left with a dependence on your own abilities. Here David is, he says, Lord, I need you. I've got all these enemies round about me. I can't just rely upon my own strength. I can't just rely upon my own wisdom. I can't rely on my own military strategies. It's a difficult thing to live a life without God's hand on you and directing you. You know where that's going to lead? It's going to lead to trouble. That's where it is. It's going to lead to trouble. So, you know, he doesn't want God to forsake him. David greatly desired God's assistance as he met the challenges of life. Now let's look at verse 10 of Psalm 27. It says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. In the midst of David's praying, David made a trusting statement about the Lord, basically saying, the Lord's never going to leave me. The Lord's not going to forsake me. He knew that even if his dearest friends forsook him, and some of them did, knew if his relatives forsook him, and some of them did, his son tried to get his kingdom, that the Lord would not forsake him. You know, I know it's sad. Some of you have told me how that you've suffered the rejection of parents or other family members because of your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a sad thing. But I want to reassure you, if you are following the Lord and doing like the Lord wants you to do, your best friend is God. Those who are true to the Lord may always rest assured that God will never forsake them. He will take them up even when others turn their backs on them. Let's look at verse 11 now of Psalm 27. So I flip the page on my Bible. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Wow. David is asking to be taught by the Lord. There is no better teacher. There is no better teacher. You know where we can be taught by the Lord? It isn't by some quasi-connection, as a lot of the emergence, you get kind of in some altered state of consciousness, and then you get all of this. I was talking with somebody recently, and they felt like the Lord was giving them revelation. You know, it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses the Holy Word of God to guide us and to direct us. You start hearing voices and all that kind of stuff, frankly, I'd be very, very skeptical about that. God has given us His Word, and there's plenty in the Word to lead us and guide us and direct us. And so we need to be in the Word of God. It's interesting. As I was thinking the other day, I'm praying, oh, Lord, I got a situation to deal with, and bring Scriptures to my mind, or help me to be able to find the Scriptures. And it is interesting. I got out a piece of paper. It isn't like God spoke to me from heaven, but because of what I've read in the Word before, I was very able to jot down a bunch of the phrases. I couldn't remember some of the exact references, but you know what? That's what I have a computer concordance for. Type those things in there. Bang, bang, bang. There they are. And I believe that the Lord gave me those passages of Scripture, and I was able to be able to communicate those things that had come to mind. God did and has taught me and did and will teach you if you get into His Word. It's important you get into His Word, not just be here on Sunday morning, not just be here on Sunday evening, not just be here on Wednesday night, but get into the Word for yourself. But then He doesn't stop there. He says, teach me. And then He says this, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Now that's very interesting. When we look at that, the word plain means a path free of stones and pitfalls. In a plain path, or if you would, a clear path. A clear path. I remember when I was at Bible camp as a kid, it was swimming time, and I love swimming time. I was a good swimmer. But we were out, and we had lived that week. It was kind of a roughing it week, and we lived out in a tent type of a situation. And so got my swimming trunks on, got my top on, and didn't put any shoes on. And I'm running as fast as I can because I want to be there to find my buddy and go swimming. And it wasn't a plain path. And I stepped on a root that was stuck out of the ground. And I didn't get to swim that day. I wish my mom was here. I had to go to the hospital. They took me to the hospital, and they did 6 double stitches. Stitches on the inside, and then stitches on the outside. And I wrote my mom a postcard and said, well, I stepped on a tree root, had to go to the hospital, but I'm okay. And that's 2 days later, she gets it and she calls the camp office. But my point is it wasn't a plain path. There were stones and sticks and all things. The camp did make a rule. They didn't have one before, that everybody wears shoes to the beach and then you have to take them off. But anyway, the plain path. The plain path. Lead us in a plain path, a path that isn't, we don't fall in the pitfalls. And a plain path also means that we can spot the enemies, that we can spot the enemies there because He says, because of mine enemies, in a plain path, you'll be able to see where the enemies are positioned. You'll be able to see, you know, how they lie in wait. You'll be able to avoid them. And so that's what we need. How important that is that the Lord lead us in a plain path. Let's look at verse 12 now. In verse 12, says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemy, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He's asking for protection. David is requesting deliverance from evil purposes of the enemies. Slander and cruel people were pitted against him, and his survival was dependent upon God's protection. God's protection. I think when we get to the other side, we're going to be amazed at how God has protected us often in this lifetime. So it's an important thing. He's saying, Lord, I need your presence. I need your guidance. I need your protection. I need your deliverance from evil purposes. They're all trying to gang up on me. They're all trying, and all I'm trying to do is serve you, and all I'm trying to do is do your will. Now, then we have the conclusion in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. It's a very interesting conclusion. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, oh, God has been good to me. God's been good to me. And then he says this. This is the hard part. For me, this is the hard part. I don't know if it's a hard part for you, but it's a hard part for me. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Lord, I want that answered yesterday. Wait on the Lord, David. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Oh, that's tough. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The context here is what? It's prayer. Don't give up in your praying. Keep on keeping on. He might not answer it in your time. He might not. I wanted Linda's mom here settled. I wanted it done in the summertime. It's a whole lot easier for that. I don't know that it'll be done in the wintertime. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. God's going to answer in His time. He knows the things I don't know. I just have to admit that. In fact, I just said that the other day. Lord, I have no idea what your plan is, but I'm going to come to you again. I'm knocking again. I'm going to be persistent, Lord. I'm going to be persistent. Please, Lord, help that house to sell. Please, Lord, for my brother's salvation. Please, Lord, for this. Please, Lord, for that. Now, sometimes the Lord answers things even before, you know, I've really expect anything. It's already cared for. Sometimes even before I pray, I've been thinking about it, you know, but I didn't exactly yet, and the Lord answers that. Other things, you just have to wait patiently. You just have to be persistent. You just have to trust the Lord. You just have to seek His face and go back to Him again. And, Lord, here I am again. Don't be demanding. Don't be demanding. But, Lord, here I am again. Please hear this. Please answer this. Don't you dare say, oh, Lord, you better answer this. You haven't answered this yet. No, no, no. That's not your place. That's not my place. The Lord doesn't owe us a thing. But we do want His help, because otherwise, friends, we're left with our own devices. And you know what? That is not a good thing. That is not a good thing. We need the wisdom, direction, and guidance of the Lord. Amen?